There are two Ananiases in the book of Acts. The first one didn't do as God wanted him to do and was punished for it. The other Ananias did what God wanted him to do. So tonight I've kind of brought together some thoughts on the lives of these two men. What makes that difference between a man and a disciple? If you will, turn to Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It's going to be a lot of reading in the beginning, but we'll get into it later and look at it in depth. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things." This is the first Ananias mentioned in the book of Acts. Now we're going to take a look at the account of the second Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. It says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." I want us to notice first how these two men were introduced. Ananias, from Acts chapter 5 and verse 1, was introduced as a certain man named Ananias. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 10, the other Ananias was introduced as a certain disciple Ananias. Usually I wouldn't think that this difference was significant, but in reading the accounts of these two men, I realize here that the difference here is significant. Ananias, the disciple in Acts chapter 9, was also later introduced by Paul in Acts chapter 22 and verse 12. Paul calls, when speaking, says, "And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there." So Ananias, from Acts chapter 9, was introduced as a disciple, as a devout man, and having good report. Luke defined him as a disciple. Paul called him a devout man. That's drastically different from the other Ananias in Acts chapter 5, who's simply introduced as a man. So the question I want to answer this evening is, what makes that difference? What makes a difference between us being simply an individual, a man or a woman, versus being a disciple of Christ. There are two main points I want to discuss tonight. First, in order to be a disciple of Christ, we must depend on God. And secondly, in order to be a disciple of Christ, we must be concerned about others. So first, I want us all to recognize that allow me to make a very important clarification here for the rest of the sermon. I will be calling the Ananias from Acts chapter 5 the man Ananias, because that's how he's defined in that chapter. And I'll be calling the Ananias from Acts chapter 9 the disciple Ananias. So, the man Ananias from chapter 5, the disciple Ananias from chapter 9. But I want us all to recognize first that these two men faced temptation. The temptations were different, but they still were tempted in a like manner. Ananias, the man, faced temptation of greed. He was tempted to be greedy not only for money, but for reputation. The other Ananias was faced with a temptation to disregard God's commandments. Like Jonah in the Old Testament, the disciple Ananias could have run away from what God told him to do, but we know from his account that he did not. These two men handled their temptations differently because of the condition of their hearts. The man Ananias consulted with himself, while the disciple Ananias consulted with God when faced with temptation. I want us to first take a deep look at the man Ananias in Acts chapter 5, verse 4. Acts chapter 5, verse 4. This was what Peter responded to the man Ananias with. Peter said, "Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." There's a very key part in that phrase that Peter says there. When he says, "Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart?" What was the mistake that the man Ananias made? He conceived something within his own heart. He didn't go to God for guidance in a situation in which he was tempted. He didn't depend on God. Instead, he was self-dependent. He thought that his answer was good enough. I want us all to realize that our hearts are never a good moral compass. There are Old Testament writers that warn us against using our heart as a moral compass. Jeremiah is one, in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. He says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." And then another Old Testament writer, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." The man Ananias made a mistake in his decision. Consulted with his own heart. His own desires were priority one, not fulfilling what God would want him to do. And so he conceived this thing in his own heart, thinking about himself, but not thinking of the consequences of what he did. We can learn from his example. Every time we face a difficult situation in life, we do need to go to God. We need to depend on God in situations like this, instead of being self-dependent like the man Ananias was. But now that we have seen what the man Ananias did in temptation, I want us to now see what the disciple Ananias did in temptation. Look in Acts chapter 9, verses 13 through 15. Acts chapter 9, verses 13 through 15. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way." Then skipping down to verse 17, "And Ananias went his way." As we covered earlier, the disciple Ananias faced temptation just like the disciple Ananias, or the man Ananias did. But they were both different temptations. The man Ananias was tempted to commit evil, while the disciple Ananias was tempted to omit good. But they both would have resulted in sin. The disciple Ananias escaped this temptation, and he very well illustrates to us something that Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, which is that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What was the disciple Ananias' escape in this situation? Depending on God. He had to depend on God to avoid this sin. And this must be hard to do considering the situation. Saul at the time, in this example, is the equivalent of a Muslim terrorist today. And I'm sure we can all imagine the anxiety that the disciple Ananias felt when he was told to go minister to this person, to go preach to this person. But despite this difficult situation, the disciple Ananias totally put it in the Lord's hands and said that he would go, and he did go. And we know that there were good results that came from it. But how did the disciple Ananias depend on God? He loved God. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 38. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 38. It says, this is when Jesus was discussing the two greatest commandments upon which all of the law stood. Jesus said here, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." The disciple Ananias must have loved God with all of his heart, that he would risk imprisonment or death to simply minister and do as God wanted him to do. But that is why this man was introduced as a disciple. He was introduced as a disciple because of his love for God, for his dependence on God. Take a moment to consider what rewards came from the disciple Ananias depending on God. A new disciple was made. And not just any disciple, but an apostle who would later minister to others. Think about the rewards that we could have today if we all totally depended on God, totally loved God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. We could reap good rewards if we totally depend upon God. There are difficult times that we face in life, but dependence on God is a solution to each and every one You might consider what someone should do when facing emotional heartache. They should depend on God, study His Word, pray. What about people that are facing financial difficulty? They should depend on God and let Him take care of the situation. And it really takes a burden off of our hearts sometimes to just give it to God and say that, well, it's in His hands and His will be done. What about spiritual hardships? Again, we need to depend on God in order to overcome those. Now that we have talked about depending on God in order to be a disciple of His, what else should we do to be a disciple of God? We will also find out through, once again, examining these two examples, the two men named Ananias. In addition to these two men having different feelings towards God, these two men also had different feelings towards other people. First, let's consider the man, Ananias, once again. We don't need to read the passage again, but think back on his motive. When he conceived this thing in his heart, who was he looking out for? Well, he wasn't looking out for others. He wasn't necessarily looking out for God or considering God. It was a selfish desire that he was going to fulfill, keeping money to himself while keeping a good reputation. This selfishness reveals to us how much, or rather how little, that he was concerned with other people. We know from Acts chapter 4 that the church at this time were selling their goods, pooling together the resources, and one can't help but ask the question, what if they needed that other half of the money that the man Ananias held back? Didn't seem to concern the man Ananias. Instead, he wanted the good reputation, the money, but he didn't want the responsibility of what had to be done. The man Ananias was a hypocrite. He appeared to be generous when in reality he was selfish, looking out for himself. There is something that I believe that probably all hypocrites have in common, and that is that they love themselves too much. They don't spare any love for other people. Instead, they're totally focused on themselves. I'm sure each of us has met in our lifetimes a hypocrite before. And probably in thinking back, you might realize that, I mean, with my personal experience, the hypocrites that I've met have been liars. They will lie to make themselves look better. They can cheat the system to make themselves look better. Job tells us something about hypocrites. In Job chapter 27, verse 8. Job chapter 27, verse 8. Job says, "For what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul." What real, lasting hope did the man Ananias have? He might have been thinking to himself, this is fantastic, I've got extra money for myself. Or, this is fantastic, I can go and purchase something that I've wanted for a while. But when he lost his life, though, what real hope did he have? What did that physical hope amount to after he lost his life? Nothing. And so we need to keep that in mind. Do we have lasting hope when in any of our situations, if we meet hypocrites, or if for whatever reason we can become hypocrites, we don't have hope? Instead, we are going to be judged by God accordingly for what we do. The man Ananias violated the second part to that, those two commandments that we were discussing earlier, the two greatest commandments. The first one, as you remember, was that we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. The second part to that verse is mentioned here in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. Jesus said, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." This is something that Ananias didn't do. He didn't love others appropriately, and as a result, he was judged. Now that we have analyzed the actions of the man Ananias, what did the disciple Ananias do differently? The disciple Ananias was also tempted to be selfish, but it was a different kind of selfishness. The disciple Ananias was concerned that he would lose his life, that he would be imprisoned as a result of ministering to Paul. Look at God's response to Ananias' concerns in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Notice that God didn't give him a promise or a surety of safety. The disciple Ananias here was actually, may not have been comforted a whole bunch because God didn't tell him that he would for sure be safe. So if God didn't reassure him in that way, what ultimately made Ananias go and do what needed to be done? He must have loved others. If you look back on the Lord's response to the disciple Ananias, he says that Saul would bear God's name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I can see how this would be calculating and in the mind of the disciple Ananias. He would be thinking to himself, "Wow, if I go and do what God is telling me to do, Saul's not the only one who's going to be saved. There are going to be others who are going to hear the word of God. There are going to be others that will respond to the word of God." And so I can visualize that. I can see the disciple Ananias weighing out his own concerns and realizing that it was for the greater good, that many would be saved as a result. The disciple Ananias must have had a lot of love for others in his heart, because we also read in verse 17 of his response to Saul when meeting him. In verse 17, notice that Ananias, the disciple, calls Saul brother. This demonstrates to me just the sheer amount of love he must have had for other people. Recognize that Saul, just a few chapters back, had killed a brother in Christ, Stephen. He stoned him. And yet, the disciple Ananias was so quick to go and call Saul brother, even before Saul was baptized. That's an amazing love for other people, in my opinion. That is showing discipleship. Loving others as much as you love yourself, no matter what they've done. There are situations in our lives when we are wronged by somebody, but yet we're told to love our enemies. We're to love our neighbors. And as a result, if we do that, we will be showing discipleship as we should be. I want us to consider and look back on this whole lesson as a whole. I want us to realize that both of these points, being concerned about others and depending on God, both of those are the two greatest commandments that Jesus gave, as we had covered previously. Those are the essentials to being a disciple. You have to love God. You have to love other people as you love yourself. If we lack either or, if we don't have sufficient love for God, then we're not a disciple. If we don't have sufficient love for other people, we are not a true disciple of Christ. And so, are you a disciple this evening? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you been baptized? Have you been faithful as you should have been in loving God and loving others? The disciple Ananias in Acts chapter 9 was later described by Paul when he was recounting his conversion experience. In Acts chapter 22:16, the disciple Ananias told Saul at the time, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized." Why tarriest thou? If there are any this evening that want to be baptized, first you have to hear the word of God. You've got to believe in God, believe in Christ. You've got to repent of your sins, confess the name of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and finally be buried with Christ in baptism. Tonight, the opportunity stands for you to become a disciple if you haven't already. If, for whatever reason, you feel that you haven't been faithful, maybe you've been considering your love for others or your love for God, and maybe it hasn't been as strong as it should have been, you can come this evening, and we can pray for you. If there are any needs to be baptized or ask for prayers, please come as together we stand and sing.